This advert I used to see on CNN then, of the Lexus GS300. That was when it was new. And it was interesting. You know why? They described a perfectly bad day. They say, maybe you drive to work, then drink bad coffee, have a boring and sick management meeting. You know, you describe everything that's wrong with the day. And I say, drive home. Not a bad day. That is the only good thing that happened that day is drive to work and drive back home. The next Lexus, GS300. What I'm saying is that no matter what kind of day you had, you understand? Listen to the word of God, not a bad day. You understand the logic? So at the end of today, it has to have been a good day. Do you understand the logic? Yes, that is once David said, I rejoice at thy word like those that find great spoil or great treasure. That is those who have gone to the markets, they have done serious business and they've made hundreds of millions of naira. He said, that's how I rejoice when I hear thy word. That's what he was saying. You understand that? That is whatever bad thing that's happened in the day, it's good. The whole day is good when I consider the fact that I received that word that day. Now, before I start today's message, I want to just tell you something. You know, the Lord is good. You know, it is good to give. It's good to be a giver. I'll tell you why. Say, spread your bread on many waters, you understand, and then you will find it again. I think, you know, the 18th of May, 1997, actually a few weeks before that, around that season, months before that, I was having this serious hunger in my spirit and my soul for the word of God, and I wasn't getting it. I mean, I had books, I had tapes, I used to go to different churches. But then I went to go around those seasons, at least early, a few weeks before that, 18th of May, I went to eat in a restaurant inside Luth, Didas. And there was this mags they used to, well, like newsletter they used to put around there, teaching letters actually, called Covenant Letters. So I picked one and I read it, and it was titled The Gospel, I think The Light of the Nations. I was really blessed by that short exhortation. After that, of course, I looked around at the, I looked through the newsletter looking for the address of whoever wrote this, and I don't know how they mistakenly did that. They didn't put an address on it. So I asked the guy serving there, one of the waiters, where do you get this one? He said, oh, that the owner of the place brings them around. I said, please, anytime you get another one, let me know. And that day I came, weeks later, to eat there again. I came with a friend. And I saw another copy. This one, Manna, Food of Champions. And then I read it again. I was really blessed. This time around, this one had a stamp on it. Number 400, Herbert Macaulay Road, Yaba, Lagos. So I said, fine, I'm going to look for the place. Now, it was just before my part one fellowship exams, postgraduate. So I gave myself some time. And then one Saturday, I decided to go and look for that place. And after I left Luth, I didn't have a car. I had to go by a bus, jump from one bus to another. After I got to Juelegba, now when I got to Juelegba, one bus driver decided to run from a traffic warden. And maybe Satan felt that, okay, this will be the opportunity to injure this guy. I'm serious. I was right in front of him when he gave his engine full throttle. I was right dead in front of him. Thank God for his spirit. I was very awake. I noticed it. So, I mean, I could only take one step to get out of this. I needed to give my muscles full throttle to get out of the way. You know, when you run, your arms swing. You understand that? So, my right arm swung backwards as I was taking that leap. To tell you how close it was, one rough edge of the bus cut the arm of my shirt and ripped it off. That's how close it was. So I looked. Ah, of course, you know, the traffic warden used the opportunity to catch the guy, and I wouldn't find it easy with it. I just entered the bus and sat down. The driver and the conductor came down. You know, Lagos drivers now, they went, oh, guy, Jema, Bino, the momo, she, you know. They were prostrating and begging. I sat down there with my hands, my head in my hands. All I was thinking was, what is the cause of this? Now, that meant I may toss it from very high up. I couldn't roll it. You know, I had to go back to my place. I just concluded that there must be something important. This was a Saturday. I was going to look for the place again Sunday. So I would have it ahead of time, you know. That's, anyway, the way people treat the word of God sometimes, I don't never show them sympathy because I feel like, look, I know how I used to do to get this word taught to me. I used to wake up at 5 a.m. so I could leave Luz by 6 a.m. to get to Yanopaja by 7 a.m. to get to attend the first service in Winners Chapel. It takes 3 buses to get there after trekking a great distance from my apartment to Mushin early in the morning. Anyway, so that's what I did then. I went back home. I thanked the Lord. I said, I'll go back on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I dressed. It was a rainy day, I remember. It was wet. And I was wearing white, something like what I'm wearing now. You know, not this design exactly, but it was white. It was white. It was pure white. So I was stepping gently. You get my point? Stepping very gently so that I won't get muddied. You know, I won't have mud all over me. And I go to the church. I finally found the place, maybe around 9:30 or so, past 9. I found the place, entered the place, one nice little church. And first thing in my mind, I smiled. I saw the pastor, oh, young man. I laughed further in my heart, like, oh, look at these young boys from university. Yeah, they are doing ministry, praise God. That's what I was thinking. And then the man began to preach. Now, before I tell you what happened, well, I've told you before if you've been listening for a long time. And we started, when he came up, he said, last week we were talking about this matter of the new creation in Christ Jesus. And when I hear new creation, I feel like, is it somewhere between Kenneth Hagin or E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, and Koda you want to preach to me? I admit I've heard it before. But 5 minutes into the message, I was literally shaking. This man preached a word that I didn't know was possible to distill from that Bible. I looked at my Bible like, what? That was the person I was referring to last week. Like, what is going on here? The guy preached, I'm not joking, this is not figuratively speaking. I was twisting in my chair. I could hardly sit straight. To get some ease, I bent my pen. I don't know whether it snapped or it didn't. I threw my Bible on the floor. I couldn't hold it anymore. I tapped the guy in front of me and said, please, is this being recorded? He nodded. I was on second row. So the guys in front were workers in the church. He said, yes, it's being recorded. So I dropped my book, dropped my pen, dropped my Bible, so I could hear the thing full blast. He preached for about 2 hours, 15 minutes, or 2 hours, 20 minutes. I was glad when he stopped so I could breathe. Now, why am I telling this story? Oh, God, that was the greatest message I ever heard. And I still think so. Do you know why? I said it's good to give, right? Now, I've been looking for the tape for some time. Like, I listened to that tape until I could almost recite it. But I've been looking for the tape for months now. This was 1997. That would be 10 years next year, all right? Then, yesterday, I was going to go to Newi. So, normally when I'm traveling alone, I like to take messages I listen to that will keep me company. So I went to the stack inside my study on the shelf on the wall. So I just looked through some tapes. So I was looking for this same man's tape, Pastor Kpojo Yemade, that's his name. And that's where it starts. So I was going through the tapes there. Then I saw one tape. It looks very strange. Never seen it before. But the title was this message I was looking for, The Inheritance Inside the New Man. Then I saw on the tape, it was written Ufoma, that's my wife's name, and was written in my handwriting, the title and her name. Then I got the point. When I met my wife, it was one of the earliest gifts I gave to her. I had not seen it since. So the tapes were, we arranged the study once in a while. I had packed the tape somewhere. I didn't recognize it from a distance because I couldn't remember the tape. But anyway, cut a long story short, I found the tape yesterday. That was what made yesterday a good day. For me, it was a good day. I listened to it twice. I just put in, as soon as I entered the car, showed the tape inside. Drove to Newi, rejoiced. When I was coming, held the drivers on the road. I said, this guy is not mentally all right. Because after some time, I removed the tape and put one tribute to Andre Crouch. We had, an old tape, had it for some time. And, you know, there was one particular track there. I was just dancing away in the car, you know, shaking my head, popping my fingers, and running and over-speeding because when you're under such, you know, you understand my point, the thing was pumping. So, of course, you can be sure that last night what I did was to convert it to digital format, and I brought two copies today. You understand my point? So, let's see who will be the... I'm telling you, look. I plan to send it to the pastor and said, the best of Pojo Yemadi. He has never, as far as I'm concerned, he has never preached a message that good. My wife said, that's your opinion. I said, yes, my opinion. I'm expressing it. He has never preached a message that good since. Ah! It's loaded. It's loaded. It's out there. It's one of those messages that transformed my life. Oh, I remember telling you about the fact that I was wearing white, right? When I was coming out after church, it was wet. I was just stepping anyhow. I didn't care at that point in time whether I got dirtied. Even if I fell in gutter at that point, I wasn't going to be bothered. If a bus passes by, I splash water, I say, have fun, my friend. I have no problems. That's why I remember that I was wearing white. That was, I got back home and started telling everybody that heard, that cared to hear, that Banky has found a man who is pumping the world at full throttle. I really believe strongly that Satan, allowed by God, wanted to find out or wanted to hinder me. And God said, let me see whether you override this hindrance that Saturday. I said, no, after that day, I knew that this my life is not an easy life. I mean, like, it's not an average life. It is a powered one. You follow my point? And that was serious. That day was a serious infection with the word of God. I listened to it yesterday again. No, forget the fact that I was reliving the feeling of 9 years ago. It was 18th of May, precisely, 1997. I heard the word again. If I was getting new insight from the thing I was hearing yesterday, when I hear things like, there are three phases in life. He said, there are three things that are needed to succeed. One, light. Two, affliction. Three, glory. You know, inside the car, I will scream again, wow! I was driving alone. Then the guy would talk, say things, you know, quoting somebody, he said, after God blesses you, that is, there are four stages in life. Number one, God takes you. Number two, God blesses you. He said, after God blesses you for the first time, then he lays you aside so that self-confidence might die and God confidence might be established. You know, I'll shake my head again. Like, this is good. Listen, don't miss it. I brought just two copies. That there are two CDs. They are very long. I mean, in fact, they didn't record the whole thing that day. The whole thing was not recorded. The guy in the tape department wanted to shoot him afterwards for not having the full version. Just record the first 1.5 hours. So there's 1 hour, 30 minutes. It's out there. All right? So I just want you to know that I'm a blessed man. And those are the things that caused me to be blessed. Do you follow my point? Yeah, God has ordained it that his nature inside us, the overcoming nature, is powered by the infusion of the word of God. You know, my wife and I were discussing today, you know, sometimes you hear people talk and say, no, me, I don't enjoy reading these books. I said, enjoy. Who's discussing enjoyment with you? I mean, am I taking you out to dinner that you should be enjoying it? Are you getting my point? We're talking about empowerment for overcoming. Have you ever heard that the soldiers say, I enjoy training? When we don't sleep at night, we are jogging all night. I enjoy it. Who talks about enjoyment? We are talking about something you take because without it, Bishop Oyedepo will say, you are not alive. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? What is enjoyment? Man, if you can eat, then you can buy a tape, buy a book. Are you following what I'm going to say? I have a rule then. If I've never seen you buy a book, I won't lend you one. Do you get my point? Except you can prove to me that you are so poor by coming to me to borrow the book barefoot, you know, that one would be good. You can prove to me, okay, I don't even have money to buy shoes. Then I know that I should lend you a book. Are you getting my point? No, really. It's a serious... I'm just telling you what I experienced yesterday. It was good. So I want you to partake of it. All right? There are messages that turn your life around. I remember in 1990, I listened to the message, The Gospel of Abundance by Bishop David Oyedepo. I'm looking for that tape also. And that one, I will find it also. You know why? I gave out, I'm sure, I can't count. I know, I'm not ashamed to say it. I infringe copyright on such things. I keep making copies and distributing it everywhere. I mean, those are messages that change your life. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's go into our own message for today. And just to put a break, anyway, before that, let's maybe we should read a few portions of the scriptures, then we'll pray, and then we'll go on. Let's start today by reading from Ezekiel chapter 47. Last week, I began to speak about the issue of the light of the world. That is what God has called us to be. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is the light that produces, that produces life, he was saying. Then after that, he now said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Meaning that when I depart from this world, I am no longer personally the light of the world. But like we said, that God always creates a body. Jesus said something. He said, lo. He said, sacrifice an offering that thou hast not desired. He said, but a body thou hast prepared for me. That is, before God does anything on the earth, he prepares a body. So for the workings of Jesus Christ, even in today, that is this season, this part of eternity, God also prepared a body for him. And that is what is called the body of Christ. So what Jesus was saying is that for me to have effect on the earth, he said, while I'm in the earth, I am the light of the world. But then when I'm no longer in the world, then you are the light of the world. And that's what the Bible calls the prolongation of the days of Jesus. We read that from Isaiah chapter 53. All right. And then all of us doing our portions, doing our assignments in life, are making manifest the effect of the fact that the days of Jesus are being prolonged, which means that, like Paul would say, nobody should say, who are going to the heavens and bring him down. You understand? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth, the word that we preach. What means that Jesus doesn't have to come down from heaven again. He has enough empowerment, power with people on the earth. And he said, greater works than that which I did, they will do. What does that mean? The dead can still be raised. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the sick can still be healed. Jesus has not yet left. All right, his days are being prolonged in the body of Christ. And what's important that for Christians to understand is that they are in life on special assignment. Almost like this series of teachings in this particular venue. When we launch this every Saturday, 5 p.m. teaching that we do, that now we have cataloged close to 200 messages. What the first series of teachings we did was titled Man on Assignment. And everywhere Kingsley has had the opportunity, he has called me to come and talk on man on assignment. I spoke on man on assignment in UNEC to was it law students or professional students? And then I went to law school to speak on man on assignment. I wonder where he's calling me to next to speak on man on assignment. But it's important Christians understand that they are really on assignment on the earth. That there are things that God wants to do on the earth, and spirits don't do anything except a body is prepared. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And what God does anytime he wants to do something is to first prepare a body. That's what we're establishing. Now, so last week, we began to speak on that subject, the light of the nation. So the light of the world. Now, let's just read this. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel was speaking from verse 1. He said, then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced the east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. Now, please, because of time, I don't want to read everything, so we'll just go to the areas that are most important. So it was describing how the water was flowing. It measured 1,000. The water was reaching to my ankles. Verse 3, it measured another 1,000. It reached to my knees, and then another 1,000. It was reaching the loins. Then in verse 5, it now said, it measured another 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in. Excuse me. All right. Now, this is what I want, this is our emphasis here. From verse 6, he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, on the back of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the water goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the other waters become fresh. So everything will live where the water goes. Now, let's just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the beauty of these words, for gathering us here again today. We know you have heard our prayers that we offered earlier, and we know that your spirit is poured forth, my tongue is flowing your words freely, and the ears and hearts of the people listening are absorbing it rapidly, and their lives are being transformed into that image of Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so last week we began to speak about this matter again, but in reality, we have never stopped speaking about it. You know, I was referring to a message earlier. You know, that was when I heard the Pastor Paul, you say it then, and I heard him other times in other messages say it, that usually there is one thing that God is speaking to you at each point in time, that you can understand many things mentally. You follow my point? That mentally you can understand many things, but usually there is one demand that God is making upon your life for you to obey. And obedience to that, he said, is called the righteousness of God. And that reminded me of something that I preached. You know, when we say that faith, the Bible says, is the substance of not things hoped for, but a particular thing that is primary in your life at that point in time. That the faith of Abraham was not much described by how he lived every day, many other matters, but according to the birth and the future of Isaac, the faith of Abraham was described. Are you getting my point? So what I'm trying to say is that I have observed, listened to many of the things that we have said, listened to words that are coming out, not just from here, but from other places, that it appears like what God is saying again and again is that arise, shine, for your light has come. Are you getting my point? That is, he's asking Christians to take their positions in life. I was somewhere the other day, and somebody told me that, a friend, he said that he checked some of my messages on the website. We're now discussing. He said that I said that Christians are supposed to, in quote, take over. He said he doesn't really believe it, that this world is not our home. I said, listen, it's either we are doing that or we are not doing anything at all. Do you get my point? Then you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose for your existence? What are you supposed to do? The Bible says very clearly that there are kings that are lords that are with him. You understand my point? That is, when he says Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he was not saying he's the king of the president of Nigeria, the president of Ghana, and the president of America. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that there are many people in authority that have subjected their authority to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, amongst kings, he is a king. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, I bought Economist this morning, and I read this news again about the one man, is it Prosevano or something, one Italian mafia don that they had been looking for about 43 years. They finally found him, and they called him the Capi di Capi. No, I don't know the Italian very well. You know, that this guy is the boss of all bosses. Are you getting my point? What it meant is that the whole of the mafia in Italy, you understand, if the man utters a word, every other mafia boss responds. For 43 years, they could not find him. Are you getting my point? They finally found him last week. Now, I'm using that to explain a point here. That when the man was called the boss of bosses, that is, the people under him are bosses. They control different arms of the mafia, different geographical distribution of mafia. In the same manner, Jesus is the King of Kings. The people that he presides as king over are actually rulers in their own right. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And that's what he said they should do, to arise and take their position in life. And that's what we are discussing. That, you see, God does not ever work, you know, I said it before, what we call miracles. He doesn't enjoy working miracles. He does it as, you know, like critical point, rescue, you know, before things just scatter. Let's just offer them a small antidote. Then let's hope they wake up to their responsibilities. That's what God does. He doesn't just go around distributing manna from heaven all the time. To the children of Israel, you enjoy that rare privilege for a few years. After that, you go and plant and you harvest. You understand? You till your ground. I will water it for you, but you have to wake up every morning planting. You have to occupy, Jesus will say, until I come. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, you have to do business. You have to dominate in business. And every time Jesus gave people talent, he gave them money to invest. What he said, what pleased the master, was that they were able to bring forth much fruit from what he had given them. God, the only man who sustained and lost nothing You understand my point? It was thrown into the wrong side. He said, this is what you gave me. I didn't lose it at all. He said, is that so? You think that's what I was looking for? For God, profiting is a critical matter. That is, life, you must always increase. Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, give yourself wholly to these things. He says, so that your profiting will be made evident to everybody. Are you getting my point? That God's plan is that his people profit. They increase. They increase so much that they dominate. He said, have dominion. I mean, that was a straightforward commandment. Have what? Dominion. Don't be dominated over. Go and read the story of the children of Israel. For them, anytime they are dominated over by other people, it was a sign of the judgment of God because they had sinned. Are you getting my point? That is, you dominate Israel. Then Israel sinned. Israel sinned. They needed to sin. If they didn't sin, nobody could dare it. Are you getting the principle? That is God's order. You know, Christians are supposed to arrive. Look, the solution to the problem of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Anytime there is a problem, the real solution is found in Christ Jesus. And he said that that's why I'm in the world. He now said that you are the light of the world, talking to his disciples. That is, when there is a problem, Joseph should be called. Remember our story about Joseph? Joseph should be called to profess solutions to the problems. That's what we are saying. And we said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I paraphrased last week like this, that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him ideas. You know what I'm saying? You get the point? That is, God inspires something into him. Maybe let's just continue from there. So what he was saying here is that, you know, Jesus was referring to this. He said, anyone who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And we said this is what he was referring to. That is, and if you look at the description here, the angel was speaking to Ezekiel. He said, you will notice that everywhere there is barrenness, there is fruitlessness, this water flows in there and it begins to bear fruit. Are you getting the point? That is the job of this water. From inside him, something begins to flow. Last week I explained, I think we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, when, of course, in the context, Jehoshaphat was going to battle, and the prophet has spoken, believe in the Lord thy God. No, the prophet said that you will not need to fight. So Jehoshaphat now told them, believe in the Lord thy God, you will be established. Believe also his prophets. What will happen? Then you will prosper. You will succeed in what you are doing. So we said that that was a dispensational statement. That is, you could understand that statement considering the dispensation. That the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1 that we read, that in those days God spoke in diverse manners. How? Through the prophets. But he now said, these days he speaks in his Son. Are you getting my point? That is, anybody who has the Spirit of Christ, there is something inside him that God is saying all the time. And how do you know a man who is of faith? A woman who will succeed in what he or she is doing in life. That every time you face challenges, you don't go around looking for a prophet, give me a word, give me a word. You should know that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Are you getting my point? And listen, if you don't expect it, it will not flow. But if you just turn in there and say, there is something here that's supposed to flow, listen, it will begin to flow. Are you following my point? You know, my wife and I were discussing again today, and you know, we're discussing many problems, you know, in the country. You know, like about cyber cafes who start, they are very fast. Then after a year, they are slow as they can be. Then eventually, they virtually close down and you move to another one. So we're talking about one of the problems that they have is that power failure is a serious problem. That they spend so much money generating power to sustain their business. So he said, those are the things that people now see and now say the country is bad and they run away. You understand my point? Then I now realize that Pastor Paul, you said something, another of his tips, which I also discovered among the ones I dashed my wife. I discovered it again yesterday. I told you, it's good to give. You know, what you give, eventually, I come back to you. All you young men, start giving to many women. I'm telling you, your life will be blessed. No, I saw that tape again. In fact, I went to her and said, because the writing on it had faded. So I said, please, can you read this? I said, She just looked at it and said, out of your bowels. I said, you mean you could read it? He said, I know it. I know how to read it. Once he said out of, I knew the tape. Now, in that, I was listening to it again yesterday. And in that tape, Pastor Paul, you said something. He said that anybody that runs away from a country like Nigeria because of pressure, and it is not by straightforward divine commandment, will return frustrated. Now, he said it. He said that the reason is because when that there are challenges everywhere. He said, for the first 2 years, you seem to have settled. Then challenges will arise. Because you are not one that can overcome them, you begin to run again. That you will always be on the run. Are you getting my point? What was he saying? He wasn't saying people are not supposed to go to places. He said, but if you are running because of challenges. No, we said something last week that the Bible said the one that God gives a crown is what? To him that overcomes. That is, if the man has not overcome a challenge, he is not an overcomer. Therefore, he gets no crown. That crown is prepared only for whom? Overcomers. That is, the challenges are never enough excuse to justify running. Are you getting my point? That when you describe the great men, the men of David, the only reason, have you noticed the only way they describe them? Said there was a, what's it called? Maybe Eleazar, son of Dodo, you know, all those kind of names. That there was a day, that's the description for him. There was a day that the Philistines invaded a portion of Israel and everybody ran. And he single-handedly stood and defended a field of beans. And that day he fought so hard that at the end of the day, they couldn't remove the sword from his hand. They would describe a man who went after a whole band of Philistines and then another day jumped into his pit on a day that is snowed to fight a lion. I was trying to analyze it because that analysis is a bit confusing. That those three men that they described were the three people that when David said, oh, I wish I could drink from the well, I said, is that you want to drink? They broke through the bands of the Philistines to go and fetch water. The only reason they knew them was they had these regular obstacles called Philistines that they always overcame. Are you getting my point? Listen, we discussed some time ago about what we call God's champions. That is, when God wants to solve a problem, he sends tough men. Are you getting my point? That you see, it's only the cowards that pull back because things are tough. They should have understood that it's your opportunity to show yourself strong. That is, God indeed is in my life. You know, I was preaching the other day in church about, I will discuss it here before, about how God is described. That God doesn't have a proper name. You can't say, what is his name? Like Jehovah's Witnesses go around going, say, he's going around saying, his name is Jehovah. Say, what? Say, yes. The day he was born, they baptized him and said, your name is Jehovah. So don't call him any other thing apart from Jehovah. Now, they don't say it literally like that. You understand my point? I'm just trying to add salt and pepper to what they say. All right. Now, but the truth is that God's name is not like that, really. He came to Moses. What's your name? He said, I am. Are you getting my point? He said, I am what I am. So what do I tell them? He said, tell them that he is. That was Derek Prince said. That what the Hebrew was saying is that he told Moses, I am. So go and tell them that he is sent you. Derek Prince was analyzing the Hebrew. I was listening to one of his messages many years ago. Now, listen to what I'm saying. So, Miles Morrow was explaining that. He said, what does he mean? He said, what he was saying, in effect, is that I am. Then you fill in the blank, depending on what you are doing at that point in time. So, when you are thirsty, it becomes, I am the water of life. You understand my point? That his name is always I am. That when you have any problem, you need a house, I am Jehovah, the house provider. You know, it's always I am. I am is empty until you get to a particular situation. Do you understand my point? That in fact, you know, I was studying the other day. No, it's important we understand. Maybe we should discuss about the name of God. I think we should settle down on it. People have discussed the names of God before. No, I'm talking about the name of God. Names of God, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. Look, those are plenty of stories. God said, my name is I am. What do you mean by I am? You describe me according to what you need me to do at each point in time because I am the Almighty. You get my point? So, Miles Moore was explaining that. So, when you get to the time that men are hungry, said, this is the bread of life. Say, I am the bread of life. Are you getting that situation? You understand what I'm trying to say? So, I was talking about the name of God. I noticed something once. I was just reading my Bible and I came down to Isaiah when he was speaking about the encounter that I am. What's the name of that king that was supposed to die? Who gave birth to the king called Manasseh? Hezekiah. Hezekiah got a letter that was threatening them. Which god of all these gods that has ever helped anybody against me and all that? So Hezekiah now took the letter to the temple and went and prayed and said, God, see. Then I noticed something. God said, because you have talked to me about this matter. Do you know, that was when my own study stopped. That God said, because you have brought the matter to me, that is, other people will have started making phone calls. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? God said, other people will have started calling other kings, will have been sending their emissaries to places that take this gift, go and give to the king of Ethiopia, tell him to come and help. Take this gift, go and give to the king of Egypt, tell him to come and help. He said, but Ezekiel, you didn't do that. You ran in and discussed the matter with me. He said, because of that, this is what I will do to the king of Assyria. Ah, I said, this is revelation. You know what I'm trying to say? Revelation. That is, anytime I have a problem, now what would be the first thing I do? I turn into God and say, hey, see, they have said, everybody has said this, and this is now, dear Lord, I am committing into your hands. God said, because you have decided that I will be the one to handle it for you, watch out. Are you getting the point? That is, because you have not started chasing a visa because they say NEPA is taking light, watch out, your business will not collapse. You are getting the point. That he is whatever you need him to be at each point in time. But what do we do with our tongues every day? We start complaining, the country is bad. Not this country. It's useless. So, you know, politics, this man doesn't want to go. He wants to be in the service. Vice president, he should be sacked. He should be, complain. That's why business doesn't work now. It's double taxation. Are you getting my point? Are you forgetting what God told Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, I am but a youth. And God said, do not say that is, I am tired of hearing you repeat the reasons why you cannot do what I want you to do. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. The man said, I cannot speak. I am but a youth. God said, do not say it. I'm tired of hearing it. What do you need to say? Anything I command you to say, just go and say it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But Christians go around grumbling and complaining and talking everything that God doesn't want to hear. I think it's an assignment we should give ourselves. Stop discussing things that God does not want to hear. Why can't I succeed? We got a problem in the country. God said, have you discussed it with me? Then stop saying what the problems are. What do I want you to say? Let's get back to our message. We'll see the things that we are supposed to say. Now, where were we in this message? In fact, how did we get to where we are right now? All right. Talking about the central message. Not only from here, but you know, everything I've said, I've listened to it again and again. What God is saying is that if this earth, if this world, if this nation is going to have any hope, it will be because the light that God has placed inside there has arisen. You get my point? And is now shining. You follow what I'm saying? Now, so, last week, we're now discussing about that issue, about there is something inside that you are supposed to believe. Believe also his prophets. But we read from Hebrews chapter 1, that his prophets then spoke in diverse manner. That's where God spoke. But now he speaks in his son. That is, there is a spirit of Christ inside everyone that has believed. Are you getting my point? Everyone that has believed, there is a seed of God that dwells inside him. And that's what Jeremiah was explaining, that no one will need to say, know the Lord. That each one will know him from the least to the greatest. That is, I've planted something inside them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are getting my point? And that if you believe that thing will always speak up under those circumstances. Are you following me? All right, so what we want to see today, continue from where we stopped last week. Well, I think let me start by reading from, or let me continue by reading Deuteronomy chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, quickly open it, Deuteronomy chapter 2. Now, I want to just use this to illustrate a point. Moses was describing what happened to them at the end of their journey. He said, verse 1, then we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and circled, notice these words, and circled Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn to the north. Turn north, my Bible says. King James uses the word turn northward. Now that's what I want to explain. He said, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now, turn towards the north. If you read the context, he told them, you are around Mount Seir. I will not give you any part of Mount Seir for your possession. I have given it to the children of Esau. Are you getting my point? Now, the blessing that you have according to that covenant that he had with Jacob, is better than the one that the children of Esau are getting. Do you understand my point? Say, don't even covet their land. You just go on to your own. There's something I'm coming to. Just note that. Now, in that same context, just go further down to verse 24. He said, don't covet the land of the, the Moabites. He now got down to verse 24. He said, arise, set out. Now, between the beginning and where we are right now, he has been describing where they shouldn't take, where they shouldn't go to, and how those other people got the land that they are in. And the same principle he was going to use to deliver the land of the Israelites to them. He said in verse 24, arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Arnon. He said, look, I have given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. This is the next thing. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. Please, that's all I want to read. Notice what he's saying. He said, I have given this particular land to you. I have given Sihon the Amorite and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession. How do you do that? Contend with him in battle. What I want to bring out here is this. I have explained, you know, the Bible says, we have read that in our previous discussions. It said that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We have established the fact that God's order is that of profiting. God's order is that of increase. But God now said something. Remember, we're talking about John the Baptist and his encounter, or the encounter of his messengers with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they came to him, he said, are you the one to come, or we are to expect another? And he said, notice something. The poor, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is, I don't deliver money like that to the poor. What do? I deliver a gospel, and by process of inward transformation, they get the ability to get wealth. Are you getting my point? If you go and read what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, it is the Lord thy God that is giving you. I noticed that he didn't say give, that gave you. He said that is giving, constantly delivering to you the ability to create wealth. Now, notice what I'm saying. That is, you don't just go and take wealth. What do? You have an ability to take it, to get it, to create it. I'm explaining something here. That is, what God gives is the ability. Now, you can have the ability and bury it like a talent. And go around complaining that the nation is bad. Nobody's helping me. You know, this is just by the way. Let me just say this again. I like to tell people. Nobody, now, as far as you are concerned, nobody has the assignment of helping you as his reason for existence. Now, as far as you are concerned. Now, as far as you are concerned also, you can decide that it is your assignment to help people. But please, don't ever think, people are supposed to help me. That's what causes offense a lot of times. No, really. But how far business now? You know, that's my cousin. Just leave him. I have left him alone for now. That guy is a useless person. Why is he useless? You needed 100,000 naira to bring new consignment of your goods, and the man didn't give you. That made him useless. Something's wrong with you. That is, the guy has no problem. It is you that have a problem. Look, you have to understand this. I'm not saying people don't help people. No, that's not the point I'm making. But please, as a person, stop thinking you're anybody's project.